Hi, and welcome to LAFPI's podcast series. My name is Allison Mead. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Gina Gianfrido. Gina was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for her play Becky Shaw, which is currently being produced by LA Theatre Works at the Skirball Center. She attended the MFA playwriting program at Brown, and her other plays include After Ashley, U.S. Drag, and Guinevere, among others. She's received an Obie Award, a Guggenheim Fellowship, the Susan Smith Blackburn Prize, an Outer Critics Circle Award, the Helen Merrill Award for Emerging Playwrights, and an American Theater Critics Association Steinberg Citation. Currently, she writes for television on shows such as Law and Order, Law and Order Criminal Intent, Cold Case, and The Borgias, and hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about what she's doing these days. Welcome, Gina Gianfrido.
Hi, glad to be here.
Thanks. I wanted to start out with kind of a general question and then move in a more specific direction. I'm mostly curious about your process as a playwright, since this is going to be a podcast for other playwrights. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, does it tend to be the same for you from work to work, or is it really wildly different?
No, it tends to be the same. And I'm kind of glad you didn't ask, because the first question whenever I do these interviews is, you know, where did you get the idea for the play? And and the truth is I never know. And I feel like the bulk of my work is, you know, chasing little glimmers of maybe until I get an idea. And then, you know, when I start writing, it goes pretty fast, but it can take me, I mean, it really can take me like a year before I have, you know, a fully fleshed out idea that I can sit down with.
Wow. Okay, and kind of moving in a more specific direction than that, I wanted to talk about specifically the idea for Becky Shaw and how it came about, not really where the idea came from, but mm-hmm. I'm wondering how the idea and all the sort of multi-levels of the play came together for you, and maybe which came first, whether it was a theme or a voice or a character.
Mm-hmm. You know, the scenario of a blind date where something, I don't want to give away too much, but where something happens, kind of a dramatic mishap on a blind date, you know, that was an idea that, honestly, I've been kicking around for so many years, and I just never really figured out what I wanted to do with it. And then, you know, for whatever reason, I was sort of ruminating on, you know, the boundaries of what people can expect of each other, and, you know, sort of, you know, what if this couple that barely knows each other finds themselves in a situation where it might be appropriate to have some emotional expectations, but it might not be. And I wanted to sort of, you know, I'm only really interested in working with an idea that I myself am really uncertain about. And I don't have, and I don't have in my heart and mind a clear answer as to, you know, who's right and wrong in this play. And I think that's what I was interested in. That's why I was interested in writing it.
That's interesting, because that's exactly my next question. I found your note really interesting in the published version of the play about not believing that any character is worthless, unlovable, or beyond redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could expand a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the play, so I have love for everybody in that play, and I would think that would be obvious, but, you know, when we did the play in Louisville, a guy came up to me afterwards and to thank me for exposing women like Becky Shaw. And I hadn't realized that there were people who were going to really demonize her. I was more, I actually, if I thought they were going to demonize anybody, I thought it would be the guy, and that was one of, Max, and that was one of the lessons, was that, you know, there is a segment of the audience that really has a lot of anger towards her, and there's a segment of the audience that has a lot of anger towards the Andrew character, and I wouldn't have expected that either.
Hmm.
It occurred to me that I might be helping out, you know, future productions by just, you know, then the director can say to the actors, you know, you're not evil, you're not you know, a pushover. You know, nobody's, you know, nobody in this play is undateable to me, you know.
Okay. Sounds good. And without giving away too much of the plot, the four main characters really are part of a moral universe that seems to shift with almost every scene.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle over who can be more of a victim kind of comes into play, and the issue
right.
of boundaries comes up again and again. And I was wondering why this territory was interesting to you as a writer.
Well, I guess, you know, I guess I don't know why it interests me, but I think, you know, measuring suffering interests me a little bit, and how we assign values to experiences, you know, is having, you know, I think there's a way in which, you know, a long drawn out but not fatal illness doesn't get a lot of sympathy, whereas a single dramatic incident of misfortune does. And and so I was sort of interested in how, you know, how people might have different ideas about you know, how big a deal someone's suffering is.
Interesting. And then my last question is just what's next for you? What are you working on these days? Anything you can talk about that you're in the process of?
Yeah, I had two play commissions, and I just finished one of them, which was for Playwrights Horizons, and I'm working on developing that right now with Peter Dubois, who directed Becky Shaw all over the place. And so that's what I'm working on, but I'm starting to think about, you know, digging around for the idea for the other commission as the development wheel grinds on the Playwrights Commission.
Excellent. And are you still writing for television?
I'm not right now. We'll see how long I can afford that. but I'm really, I needed to focus on theater for a while, and I didn't want to miss out on going to London. Becky Shaw is up in London right now. So yeah, so I'm out of TV right now, but I don't think forever.
Good. Can you kind of just briefly talk about what the rewards are, pro and con, theater versus television, for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really hard to make a living in theater.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously TV is you know, financially rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
But and in TV, I mean, you can have a good situation, you can have a terrible situation. But I did Law and Order for about 4 years, and that was a good situation because the show had been running a while. They knew how to do it. You know, it was a well-oiled machine, and they didn't have a writer's room. It was you know, we worked in pairs or we worked with the head writer, but we didn't sit around and jabber and, you know, waste time, which drives me crazy. So I had a good run at Law & Order. And the best thing I took away from it next to the money was I learned to cut. I learned to edit and revise. I was very not good about that until I did TV. And in TV, you just have to do it.
Interesting. Okay. That I had not heard that before, but that's really interesting. So because this podcast is specifically tied in with the LA production of Becky Shaw, mm-hmm. I was just wondering, last little note, anybody who's listening to this, what would you sort of ask them to take into the production if they're going to see it or watch the listen to the streaming audio?
I guess I would say, you know, along the lines of what we were just talking about, to be open to your mind being changed from the first scene to, you know, the second act. You know, that the impressions you form in the first act maybe will change in the second.
Cool. Well, on that note, I wanted to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you.
The LA Theater Works production of Becky Shaw will be recorded as radio theater in front of a live audience from February 9th through the 13th at the Skirball Center and features Emily Burgle, Marsha Mason, and Matt Letcher. For more information on how to get tickets or hear live streaming audio of these performances, please go to www.latw.org or call 310-827-0889. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, visit www.lafbi.com.